Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Bell. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kyrie, this is the first time you're in the playoffs as a lone all-star on your team. Especially after a game like this, what is the extra burden there and how do you intend to deal with it?
There's no extra burden. You know, this is what I signed up for. This is what Boston traded for me for. So being able to go back, get back in the trenches, get ready for, you know, another battle on Friday. You know, this is what you live for. So, you know, basketball is fun when it comes, when you have to respond. And, you know, this is, you know, type of basketball you want to be playing at this time of year.
Meanwhile, how's our GoFundMe page for Kyrie Irving?
Oh, it is. But it's a struggle being him, isn't it?
The burden.
It is. The burden of carrying your team.
I hope he's okay. We've been doing a periodic here, just wellness checks on Kyrie and how he's making it. Because the burden of joining a team that went to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
That question.
Kyrie, this is the first time you're in the playoffs as a lone all-star on your team. Especially after a game like this, what is the extra burden there and how do you intend to deal with it?
So again, thoughts and prayers to Kyrie Irving and his family in this trying time.
It's a weight. It is. It's a heavy weight to carry.
I mean, Kyrie Irving is insufferable enough with just making it everything about him, the world revolving around him. Now the media plays into it. They lose one game and all of a sudden he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders, carrying around these slugs, these loser slugs who've finished at the top of the Eastern Conference for like 2 or 3 years running now and went to game 7. We're like 5 minutes away from going to the finals without him. But now he's a lone all-star and the burden.
Kyrie over here. Could you talk to me about the burden of carrying all these bums? Is that why your back and knees maybe are giving out and you didn't play that well tonight in game 2 in Milwaukee? The burden?
There's no extra burden.
Oh, okay.
So we're just that's part of the Celtics thing is that just Kyrie again. He's just that guy is rich, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, listen, play to his ego. I told you from the Celtics. I have someone from Celtics.com go in and ask those questions. Kyrie, Lucky T Leprechaun Celtics.com. What is it like for you to carry the burden to be the star and have to drag along 11 teammates who don't really even deserve to be on the same floor as you? What is that like? Can you explain what that is like? To explain how great you are?
And this, I mean, he says it like it's just amazing to me. Look, I still like the Celtics in this series. This is just an aesthetic thing with Kyrie. It drives me up a wall. I just think he's insufferable. 18 different times during every post-game press conference, it's about him and he has to set the tone and set the example for his teammates. He's so badly wants to be LeBron. After saying that he hated it and had to run from it, he has become mini LeBron, little LeBron, and he so wants that model where it's all about him. Everything spins through him. Everything spins off of him. Everything is related to him. The ball goes through him. The offense goes through him. Everyone's tone is set by him because that is when you have LeBron. That's how it works. And with the Celtics, that's not really how it works. It's not. It's not how it works. It's not how they want it to work. It's not how it's ever really worked here ever, you know, for decades, but certainly not now. This is really about the system and Stevens program, and Kyrie Irving's just supposed to fit into it. But he doesn't want that. He wants the LeBron thing. So anytime he's asked about anything, about like how they or he played last night, again, just this answer, Jimmy, you play the other Kyrie cut that we have, if you don't mind. Again, it's all spinning around him and his ability to set the tone for everybody else.
Yeah, we just got to find a way to keep our tempo. You know, that's my job, to go out there and just really set that example for our team, get out in transition, make the right reads. So we'll look at film, but I think I already have a clue of the way I want to play going into game 3.
Like, that's not the way it's not. He's a piece and the best player, but on a team that has a lot of good players and a lot of different parts to it, and plays good team basketball, and he's just a piece to it. It doesn't begin and end with Kyrie Irving.
No, no. And again, he talks like he's the coach. He talks like he's the coach. I have a pretty good idea of how I want to play. What if Stevens doesn't want to play that way? Hello? Like,
But anyway, I hope he's doing, again, thoughts and prayers to Kyrie Irving and his family. That is a burden, man. That is a burden. Playing on this team,
it's a lot for one man to handle.
I'll tell you, man, that is, his plate is full. So there's your Celtics reset. Steven Bilirica on the Bruins. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, listen, Maz, I don't agree with one thing really you said. I feel the Bruins have outplayed the Jackets since game one. They carried the play. They forced the play. I think they let them hang around, and now they're just gaining confidence as it goes. I feel like they've had the puck in space probably more now than they did the whole Toronto series.
Okay, Steve, thanks for the call. Do you think he was watching the Bruins series or another series, and he has it confused with another, like Dallas, St. Louis or something?
No, listen, Steve's shtick is to just call up and disagree. That's what he does. It doesn't matter what you say. So he's just going to call up and disagree. That's his M.O.
Do you think the Bruins have controlled play?
No. No, again, I told you, you want to take a real negative view of it? They were down 2-1 in the third period of game one. They could be down 3-0 right now.
Sure could.
So, like,
but if you want to play that game.
Of course.
The Bruins could be up 3-0. If Rask makes one save last night.
Or if Coyle doesn't hit the post in game two.
Or you don't hit the post. Exactly. Right.
Sure. So, listen, I think at this moment, the series is what it's supposed to be. I think the Bruins overall were the better team in game one. I think that Columbus has been the better team in the last two, and last night the margin I thought was significant. I don't know if it was huge, but it was significant.
The Bruins need to bring more to the table, and I want Cassidy to start saying it.
They got to start getting bodies to the net, too, and go to the net.
I want them to feel it, believe it, and do it, and it starts with the coach saying it. Don't say you did enough to win, because you didn't.
I mean, what's the last legitimate goal they scored?
Last legitimate goal they scored, was it Charlie Coyle in overtime? Grizzlick on the power play underneath the armpit. Fine. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's...
Well, see, the thing is, the DeBrusque and Pastrnak goals back in game two are legit goals. They're just sort of greasy, dirty goals.
Sure.
That's how you're going to have to beat Bobrovsky.
But the last two have been off of Pastrnak's skate and then DeBrusque hammering away at it in front of the goal last night. And look, that was a tough goal, but I think that my point is... I think that's what it's going to take to score on this guy.
And I want to hear Cassie start saying it. Not that you did enough to win, you had enough good looks to win.
Which is why I like Backes going back in, because Backes will do that.
Bill in Marshfield. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, for the Bruins, it's just one game last night. It's going to be a long series. I'm surprised Backes hasn't been in yet. He's going to help. And they did hit the post, as stated, at least three times.
So
I'm more concerned about the Celtics right now, where Hayward's getting the ball passed to him 25 times compared to 34 times in the first game, and Rozier is shooting twice as much as Hayward. Move the freaking rock. Let's go, teams.
Okay, Bill, you're more worried about the Celtics than the Bruins?
I'm not.
Oh, my God, not even close.
No, the Celtics get the upper hand now. They get home court.
They're in control of that series, and they're a good matchup. The Bruins, they're about to leak this thing away. They're about to blow this opportunity. This is the last best chance this group will have, meaning Chara, Bergeron, Krejci, Rask, Marchand, that group of players. They're never going to have another opportunity like this. They're never going to have another chance like this to be in the second round with all their nemesis knocked out and beatable opponents in front of them, which Columbus is tough. I'm not saying they suck. They could be just as good as you. Their goalie's better. Like, I'm not telling you there's no pushover, but they're a beatable opponent. It's not like if they had faced Tampa, I might have been tempted to say that's right now you can't beat them.
I agree with you in what you said yesterday. Like, they get out of this, the road's easier. Like, the Sharks might be tough if they got them in the finals, but
the next
Eastern
round?
Conference finals, whether it's the Islanders or Carolina,
come
please.
On. Don't tell me these are the teams you're going to have to beat and you're going to blow it. You're not even going to get there. Oh, come on. Come on. You got Hall of Famers on this team. You got Chara's going to the Hall of Fame and Bergeron's going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, you got all-time players on this team. I hate to break it to you. I hate to break it to me. Tuukka Rask is going to get consideration. I mean, I don't know what all the parameters are there for the Hall of Fame, but I think he's going to get votes. Like, you've got all-time players on your team. You're going to have numbers retired. And you're going to lose to Columbus and their shot blockers and their a-hole coach? Ah, come on.
I just don't feel like they're putting enough pressure on Columbus, and I mean that all the way around. Physically, you know, the goalie, all of it. The goalie got some pressure last night. He's just so damn good. He's playing out of his mind right now, absolutely out of his mind. Like, you know, it's so frustrating to watch a game like last night. Okay. Frustrating.
Mike in the truck, your comment line says the Bruins came out tired. Are you sure you were watching that game and not the Sharks at night? Like, what game were you watching? Did you watch the first 10 minutes of that game last night?
I watched the entire game last night. I was just going to say, I don't know what that guy Steve was watching, but the only time that they have an extra day's rest, and I didn't see the extra energy. Like, I don't know what I was watching last night, but it was pissing me off.
But Mike, but they came out all over them. They controlled the first 6 to 8 minutes of that game, controlled it.
And they weren't taking the shots. Where were the shots? They didn't have any good shots.
What do you mean? When Charlie McAvoy beat Bobrovsky clean glove side and rang the inside of the post, that wasn't a good shot. Or when Bergeron was all alone at the top of the blue paint, I mean, he shot it right into his groin. It wasn't a good. He just put it right into his pad, so I hated the nature of where that shot went. But they had opportunities all over the place. They came out with jump. They were all over them. And then their sucky power play killed their own momentum. And it sort of went downhill from there. And then after you hit a post, Bobrovsky makes a save. You can't score on all your chances. Rask lets in a goal against Jenner that I think he could have had. And I don't mean to keep – I'm not bagging on Rask because he's been great. But that was frustrating. That was a savable shot, whether that hit was at Clifton's stick or not. That was a savable shot.
I mean, for it to go down the way it did with the Bruins having the pressure on there in the early part of the game, and then all of a sudden Jenner streaks down the right side, cuts in the middle and scores. Like, it was just, you got to be kidding. Like, here we go. You know, because it was late in the first, right, if I remember right?
Late in the first, and it's their fourth line out there, and it's not even a clear, really, it wasn't a grade A opportunity. The next thing you know, you're down 1-0, and they're firing the stupid cannon, and you had controlled the game, and that's frustrating.
And then their guy, meanwhile, had made a similar save on Coyle at the other end.
Exactly right.
Right? It was the same kind of save. Coyle's going against the grain. He's going left to right and shoots it back towards the near post, and Bobrovsky got a pad on it. So, look, it was an excruciating game. It was just unbelievably frustrating. So, I just feel like it looked like Columbus had more will to me last night. That's what it looked like.
Joe in the car, your thoughts.
Hey, guys. Going into the playoffs, you touched based on, you know, the goalie situation. And everyone was worried about Rask. Can Rask not puke on himself and not be a basket case? And here we are, second round, and Rask is doing his job. It's everyone else. They got their heads up their keister, you know? And it's so frustrating as a Bruins fan. Here we are, second round. If everyone else just clicked and did their job, this would be a completely different series.
Well, it is true that Rask has been the least of your problems. He's been value add. He's one of the reasons you're here. He's been good. Although I didn't like the first goal. But I'm just quibbling. So if he had saved that one, you'd still only put one on the board. I mean, you're still not scoring enough to win. So Rask isn't the story.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it feels like last year's second round series. Like, you know, they couldn't score against Tampa. They were getting smothered. It's a little different. Because Columbus is more physical and the...
Well, Columbus doesn't score either, so these are all tight games.
Well, so that's true. Yeah, so that's true. And so it's a little... But the same issue of being able to put the puck in the net is a problem.
We continue with your thoughts. Bruins, Celtics, right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Matt.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Mel. Nobody's perfect.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kyrie, this is the first time you're in the playoffs as a lone all-star on your team, especially after a game like this. What is the extra burden there, and how do you intend to deal with it?
There's no extra burden. You know, this is what I signed up for. This is what Boston traded for me for. So being able to go back, get back in the trenches, get ready for, you know, another battle on Friday. You know, this is what you live for. So, you know, basketball is fun when it comes, when you have to respond. And, you know, this is, you know, type of basketball you want to be playing at this time of year.
Meanwhile, how's our GoFundMe page for Kyrie Irving?
Oh, it is. It's a struggle being him, isn't it?
The burden.
It is. The burden of carrying your team.
I hope he's okay.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
High slot. Here's McAvoy. Shoots off the post.
Boone Jenner cuts to the slot. He shoots. And he scores! It's one of those things that makes you go Boone!
Right now, it's more about the Bruins sports not being able to win a lot of battles in the offensive zone. They're getting knocked off pucks. Anything along the wall, it looks like Columbus is winning. The Bruins aren't giving up much, but it's if you want to get something going offensively, more puck battles have to be won.
Atkinson walks in, slap shot, hits traffic, comes right down in front, another save, then there's a score! You know his name, it's Matt Duchene! He buries a power play goal! And the Blue Jackets lead 2-0.
I just noticed Dutchie retrieve a lot of pucks to keep us in the zone. Jonesy makes another play at the blue line. And we just tried to stay with it.
Left circle to Brusk. Walks in. Backhand. Bobrovsky the same. Reach behind him. Coleman digging for gold. And the referee is washing it out.
After video review, the play is determined that it was a continuous play. And we have a goal on the ice.
Right corner now, McAvoy, center to Cherry, shoots off the post. Oh, what a save by Bobrovsky. And here's another shot. This one is blocked. Follow-up chance. And again, Sergei is there three times. The Blue Jackets keep it out of that net.
Down to 5 seconds remaining. The Bruins will get a chance. They come behind the net, put it to the side. There's a shot save made. And I got two words for you. Game over.
The secondary saves that he is making are very impressive, but he's definitely going to crack at some point. I have a lot of faith that we're going to start putting pucks past him here pretty soon. So we've had some great opportunities today throughout all three periods to put pucks behind him, and credit to him today, but overall, I don't think it's going to last.
More your Bruins thoughts here. I've had several false starts here today for some reason. A little technical difficulty. So you're saying, Jimmy, when the light is on, the mic is on.
So it's supposed to be that way, but I feel like your scrubbing has short-circuited the light.
I don't know what scrubbing means. What are you scrubbing
when
over
you
there?
Wipe down to begin the program?
I've short-circuited something here?
Yes.
And I was being sarcastic with the light thing. You know, you would think after doing this for 30 years that I'd know when the light's on, that the thing's on.
Yeah.
But anyway,
this feels like an off-air podcast thing.
We'll do it on the podcast. I'm glad you mentioned it. The Felger and Maz off-air show tonight at 6 o'clock sharp. Me and Ty Anderson. More Bruins talk. Me and Ty.
And light talk.
Okay. And whatever sort of grab ass you want to do, whatever grab ass Ty wants to do, whatever you want. We save the grab ass for the podcast. We're trying to stick to business here on the broadcast.
Do you have hockey questions?
Yeah, we'll accept some hockey questions. More hockey talk, myself, Ty Anderson, Facebook Live, Twitch, 6 p.m. sharp, Felgram has off-air show. Ty swears like a drunken sailor on that thing. You heard the quote there from Brandon Carlo at the end of Jimmy's montage. He's going to crack at some point, he says, of Bobrovsky. I have a lot of faith we're going to start putting pucks past him pretty soon. How do you feel about that? That takes a lot of balls for a guy who's, again, I'm going to say he's scored 4 goals in his life.
I actually like it because I'd hate to hear any of these guys say the opposite right now. Like, oh, boy, he's playing out of his mind. We've been having a real problem there. We're lucky to get the one goal we got last night that squeaked past him. Because if I hear that, well, they're already in their head saying, we're screwed here. Even subconsciously, if they're setting in there, they're telling themselves, this guy's playing like Hasek in 99. We're doomed. This series is going to be over. So I think you have to talk confidently and say, hey, he's going to break. We're going to get some goals, even if you don't believe it. If you say it out loud, I think your brain will absorb that, and then they'll actually collectively start to believe that subconsciously, consciously. Either way, I'd rather them talk positively about this, because if they start talking about Bobrovsky, how he has played, and that they can't score on him, well, they're doomed.
So in case you're wondering, it is eight goals.
In his career.
Is what he has in his career, 8 goals.
How many this year? Does he have two?
Two. 2 goals in his career.
I don't know. Bobrovsky hears that from Brandon Carlo. What does Bobrovsky say? Exactly. Oh, aren't you a cute little lumbering defenseman with your 2 goals?
You're nothing but little mosquito.
So look, I don't mind the idea of maybe trying to get into his head. You know, let him play a mental game there a little bit. Who the hell knows? Like, but the more important question is, do I believe him? And my answer is no. Like, I don't,
we might not. I probably don't. But if they do in the room, I think that's better for their collective mindset.
Boy, this guy's good. He's playing out of his mind. He is. He's out of his mind. He is really, really good. And I know if I were them, I'd be frustrated. I mean, it's like, what do we got to do to score against this guy? You have Brad Marchand, first 100-point season, basically a 35-40-goal scorer the last 3 years. Pastrnak now, 35-40-goal scorer. Bergeron had the best offensive season of his career. They can't score.
You have to empty the bucket. You have to bring more to the table than you've brought. It isn't good enough. It isn't good enough to win. It isn't creating enough chances to win. It's not enough. You haven't done enough. You need to bring more. That's what you need to do. That's what they need to do.
I mean, I like Backes for that reason. I just think Backes will mix it up in front of the net and will create an absolute scrum in front of there, and maybe you got a shot.
Back to your phones. Bruins, Celtics, Larry and Lawrence. Go ahead, Larry.
Hi. Yeah, you know, Mike, you nailed it on the head about Pastrnak. I haven't been able to put my finger on it either. I mean, he's been flopping all around, falling down, and he does have to work on his core strength. I mean, he's a young kid, but dirty offseason, he's going to have to bulk up, and it seems like that he's kind of cowering. And once they're around the league, if you're kind of shy of getting hit around, they're going to lay down the blueprint.
Because, well,
this kid is a great hockey player, but he's got to get it going.
Well, that's Amani's point made last night on NBC Sports Boston. Words out. Get to Pastrnak physically, he won't respond. He's not going to fight. He's not going to come back at you. He's going to wilt. And that's what Amani's thing is. Now, maybe there's a physical injury on top of it. When Pastrnak got caught by Panarin in mid-ice, that had to be a sign that something is not right. Not right and beyond just the hand or the thumb or whatever. Which, fine, I'll give it to him. He's clearly a basket case mentally. So there's a mental problem. There's probably a physical problem, a mental problem, but the compete problem is one that you got to be worried about. That he's not fighting through it.
See, but he's at, like, just quickly to the caller's point, he looks like he did when he was a rookie. You know, he's gotten stronger over the years. He's gotten better at it, but this is like a major regression. He's gone back to what he was at the beginning.
And now the issue is, why do you keep giving him ice? 18, 19 minutes last night? That's too much for a guy who's playing like that. Too much. Paul in the car on the Celts. Are you worried?
No. I mean, look, last night was one of those nights where Eric Bledsoe was hitting back-to-back threes, including the closer at half. He's still making dinner plans.
And that's what I think the Celtics did. I think the Celtics knew it wasn't there. I mean, even though they're down 4 at half, I thought they were in good shape at half.
And when it got to 10, though, they quit. They collectively quit.
As soon as the Bucks went on a run, the Celtics said, that's it. We're not winning tonight anyway, and that's it. We'll just fold the tent, which happens a ton in that league. Well, it's crazy. But at half, I'm like, they're down 4, and Kyrie's done squat. Well, they're in good shape. Kyrie's going to now do something in the second half, and the Bucks are cooking, wrap this thing up in 2 games. So at half, I thought you had a chance to end the series right then and there. But it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. You know, all those stiffs on the Bucks standing 30 feet from the rim, just bombs away? Is that how they're going to win the series?
I'm telling you, I was literally offended. There's certain things in sports that offend me, and Mirotic shooting where you typically see Steph Curry or Damian Lillard take a three-point shot 4 feet away from the line. Nikola Mirotic, like, you got some balls. And like, that offends me as a sports fan. Yeah, I know. But still, the fact that he thinks he can do that, I find that offensive. It really bothers me. And there's not going to, you can't do that consistently because, again, you're Nick Mirotic. So good luck with that. That's why I'm not, like, that's why I don't look at last night and say, like, oh, boy, there's trouble coming. The Celtics will be fine.
Agreed. I'm not worried one bit if I'm a Celtics fan. We've got John in the car. Can you explain to me the fascination with Nordstrom?
Mike, that line all year, David Backus, Nordstrom, and pick your schmuck. The Bruins were third in the league with that line playing pretty much the whole season. Now, you put Backus in for the beef, that's fine. Chris Wagner will give you the same thing, and not for nothing. Didn't he score like 8 or 9 more goals than Nordstrom did this year? He had a career high in goals.
Yeah, Wagner did.
More of a chance to put the puck in the net with Wagner
yes.
than you do with Nordstrom?
Yes.
So, I mean, to me, I don't understand Cassidy's logic here. I understand it's a fourth line guy. This is all going to be won and lost with the guys in the top of the lineup. But if you need someone to answer the bell and maybe hit someone, or maybe, God forbid, actually start a fight, maybe this is the time Chara should drop the mittens because he's not doing anything on the blue line. Beat somebody up and take the 5-minute penalty.
All right.
And Tony asked the question about good goals. They're all good this time of year. You give me a half a dozen off Pasternak's foot, and I'll be fine with that. It'll get him into the next round.
Okay, John.
Yeah, that's not the point, but go ahead.
I just want the fourth line back together. I just think if you're talking about will and physicality and matching and puck battles and all that crap, that fourth line did it for you all season long, and you relied on it, and Cassidy loved it, and he's sort of gone away from it. Put him back together.
So I don't mind that either. Again, I still think that the greater problem is what you're getting up front. Your best players, Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak, they are liabilities right now. They're not neutral. They're not plus zero. They're negative. They are negatives. They're minuses. That's a problem.
Here's Murray's update.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum goes behind the back with a bounce pass for an open. Horford drills a three. Horford looking for an opportunity, drives baseline and flushes.
Got right by him and just attacked the rim easily.
Giannis driving on Tatum, down the line, to the rim, left hand throwdown. There's the crowd pleaser and his first slam of the night. Stolen by Giannis. Can they pick it up? This time they get the turnover. Oh, the length of Giannis pays off. Here come the Bucks. Giannis charging down the lane to the rim. Double clutch. No good. Tipped in. Giannis tipped it home.
Giannis's mindset and, you know, the aggressiveness with which he played, the force with which he played is what he needs to do and what we need to do.
Middleton hot. Feeling it. Three-pointer right wing. Nails it. 74-64. Bucks lead by 10. 7 made threes for Middleton.
We didn't have enough of a sense of urgency of getting back. And they hurt us. They exposed us with that. And in game one, I felt like we were really on top of that. Tonight, not so much.
And there's the final buzzer. The game two in the bank for the Bucks and earning interest. They even the series at 1-1 with a 123-102 win over the Boston Celtics. And I think everybody now breathes a sigh of relief. And 0-2 would have been a disaster. 1-1, and you're back in the series.
My focus is on all of us, and we all have to be better. There's some things that each guy can do better, some things that each guy needs to bring to the table.
And we need to make sure that we're all clicking when Friday night starts.
There's your Celtics look. Yeah, wait 2 days before the next game. So that NBA scheduling just sort of falls into the
so stupid
momentum killing zone.
Oh, and then the other thing, what bothers me is, okay, fine, play Friday. You don't play again until Monday? Play Sunday.
Two more three-day breaks coming up.
Yeah, two games in a week. It's a freaking joke. It is. It's a total effing joke. It's embarrassing, for crying out loud. It takes them this long to play. This is why they're playing in late June, for crying out loud. It's ass backwards, stupid.
Before I go back to the phones, real quick, just we haven't hit on the Kraft thing in a while. It's still raging down in Florida. There's all these preliminary hearings with his lawyers in there trying to get stuff thrown out, trying to get the video suppressed, trying to prevent prosecutors from using the video at trial when it goes to trial. And so there's just been these huge, long preliminary hearings that are usually formalities, but not with Kraft's lawyers. They're spending 4.5 hours a day down there, back and forth. It's just a ton of crap. There were two new details that came out today, one that helps Kraft. There's a similar case. Again, there's three different counties, right? Palm Beach County, Martin, and I can't remember the third, but they did this in three different counties. In one of the counties up north, they suppressed the video evidence. And this is not related to Kraft. It's a separate case, but they used similar language and similar rationale for going and getting the sneak and peek warrant and putting the cameras in those spas. And the judge there said, for lack of a better term, just to sum it up for you, too intrusive. And so they suppressed the video evidence up in Martin County. And Kraft's attorneys are linking the cases, and they're going to the judge in Palm Beach County and saying, well, they did it up north. You should do it too, and here's their rationale, and it was the same rationale they used down here, and it's the same case, and dot, dot, dot. So there's some precedent right up north now for Kraft to get the video suppressed. In terms of using it at trial, I haven't heard if that means they still can't release it or won't release it, because those public records laws there, whatever the police have, they're supposed to release to the public, to the media. So I still don't know if that means those videos come out or not, but they can't be used at trial according to the judge. So either way, that's good news for Kraft. The bad news, or I don't know, depends, you know, your view.
What your fancy is.
Yeah, it depends what your fancy is. Thank you. There's just more details, and I'm not going to give them to you here. Just go to AJ Perez, his Twitter feed. He writes for USA Today. He's covering the trial for USA Today. And so because this is all going on, and now they're digging in, literally, to all the details of this. They're putting on the detectives that were watching this stuff on film at the time and what they taped and why they taped. And one of the detectives there testified that those viewing the video footage live took notice when the masseuses began
and looking for the keys.
You're going to have to fill in the blank.
Looking for the keys. I don't know where you put your keys, Murray.
Before the lights were turned off. So the first visit, the second visit, right? There was two visits, right? The second visit, he got buck-ass naked in like 30 seconds, was on the table being serviced, and whoop. The first visit, he actually got a massage, and then they turned the lights off and then turned the lights back on and were rubbing him down. We're, you know, like with a towel rubbing off the area, if you will. And so there was some times off with the lights off, but there was something that took place right before the lights went off that clued investigators into something that maybe this is not just a back massage. Well, a upper back massage. You got to read it. What was she doing, Murray?
Looking for the keys.
Can I use a dental term?
Sure.
Checking for cavities?
Yeah. Again, different strokes for different.
So folks, anyway, right? Like again, this is 2019. This is hardly the worst thing that's going on in the history of the world. But it is another indication that, like, the farther it goes, the more little crap like that comes out. Again, figuratively speaking. So yeah.
The other thing too is, so this judge that's on this, Leonard Hasner, is requiring that Kraft appear in court May 21st for a calendar call.
Which is why? Why?
So that's when they're going to, the attorneys are going to let them know when they're ready for
trial. Why does the judge need him there? Does he want to bring him in to dismiss it? You know, I mean, that's what I wonder. To actually say, sir, we know what's going on, but, you know, I'm going to dismiss it. Get out of here. I don't know. Why is he bringing him in?
Yeah, you got me. I don't know.
He doesn't need to be there. They usually don't bring him in for this. It's all the lawyers. Or, you know, it could be that. It could be that, but he wants to say something to him before dismissing it. Or he's so sick to death of his freaking lawyers who've been in his face now and in his courtroom for 3 days, when usually this thing takes 3 minutes, that he's so sick to death of this thing because it is such a technicality that the prosecutors have offered to drop. Like 90% of the 95, whatever, this is usually dropped. It's almost always dropped. And this judge never has to deal with anything like this because it's dropped. The prosecutors drop the charges, which is what they're offering to do to Kraft. So maybe the judge is so pissed off and getting so annoyed that he has to spend day after day in his courtroom over something that's usually dropped that he's like, screw it. You come in here and listen to this crap. I mean, I have no idea. Why is he making Kraft come in? So now we're going to do a perp walk. Now we've got more details on the masseuse's whatever. Fill in the blank.
Methods.
On the methods there. And now we got a perp walk coming. Like, is Robert really benefiting from this?
No. Listen, I told you this thing only gets worse every day that it goes on for him, whether he gets off or not. Like, you know, it's irrelevant. The more that comes out, the worse it is for him.
Okay, so anyway, you can go find that online to find exactly what the heck we're talking about. Wrap it up with your calls here. Bob in Burlington on the Bruins. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys, first of all, you guys, I think, have been spot on with the Bruins so far today. I think everything that you guys say was right. Mike felt it. Rask's first goal, didn't like it, hated it. And the Bruins need to play more physical. Columbus is too comfortable. They're not afraid of the Bruins. The Bruins need to pop a couple of guys and get them in their head. They need to lay out Panarin so he thinks twice about skating around the whole team. They just need to be more physical.
More of everything. And it's not something I'm talking about a commercial, but it's like they need more of everything. The attitude from Cassidy should not be we did enough to win, we just hit the post. That's not going to be good. If that's their approach, if this is how they're going to play the rest of the way, they will lose the series. They're not going to prevail this. Against Toronto, he said, and it turned out he was right, barely, but Cassidy said, no, we're going to stay the course. And this was with line changes and everything. He said, we're too talented. It's ultimately going to tilt in our direction. And it did.
Yeah, of course, he did move Pastrnak,
and he did move Pastrnak, but I think they had that general philosophy. Stay the course, do what we're doing. We're ultimately going to prevail because we're better. They were right against Toronto. I don't think it's going to work this series. I think they're facing a team, as you've said, is too committed, and their goalie's too good.
Oh, my gosh, are they committed? I don't know that you'll find many teams that are more disciplined and committed than Columbus is. What kind of premium do you put on the game tomorrow night?
Oh, huge. Huge. I don't think you're winning three straight against them.
Well, see, that's sort of my feeling. Like, you can't lose tomorrow. Tomorrow night's your season. There's no way you're beating these guys three in a row.
They have to empty the bucket. Jake in Andover. Yes, Jake.
So I just want to touch on three major points I feel like are more, the Bruins aren't good fundamental hockey. I know everybody's complaining about, oh, they pass too much. They can't even actually pass right. If you're watching when they're doing up-ice passes, it's tape-to-tape pass. If you look at all the breakouts, those aren't happening. They're just not happening. You can't get good, solid, odd man rushes going the other way to score a potential, as Matt says, clean goal. The zone awareness, every time we're in the parlay, how many times have we passed it outside of the blue zone so we have to pull all our guys out?
Okay, Jake, you're giving me too much X and O's. Their puck management's been average, but that's not their biggest. That was a bigger problem against Toronto than it is here. It's still not great. But that's not where I would start. They're not finishing. And they're not doing enough offensively in Columbus's zone. Never mind the breakouts. They're not doing enough down there. And that's where it has to start. They're not scoring.
I mean, Toronto relied on its speed. This team relies on its structure and its goalie. I mean, they just bottle you up down there, and you have to plow your way through there to score. You have to plow your way through.
He's been waiting patiently, Bob in Nantucket, for Patriots. I don't want to just leave you hanging, Bob. Are you the guy that called us a couple weeks ago, said you talked to Bill in the coffee shop, and he said big surprises were coming on draft day?
That's correct.
Okay, I think he fed you a line of crap because nothing really happened. That's
surprising. I think you were right, Bob.
Well, listen, it wasn't a Downey flick, number one. He goes to a small hole-in-the-wall joint, an OG place down there where he keeps his boat.
Okay.
But I did say to him, I ran into him yet again, and I said to him, I said, no big surprises. And he said they tried to get Rosen, but they didn't want to give 32 for Rosen. But he did say that this kid, Isabel from UMass, that's the guy they really wanted. But other than that, he said and he was totally happy with all picks. And I said, what's up with the punter? You know, what's up with that? why did they waste a pick on the punter? But what do you guys think? How do you keep
running into him at this coffee shop?
What did he say?
Hold on. Are you like stalking this coffee shop? Because he must be there like once every 2 weeks. No, I mean, he's not there. He's a lot.
No. He keeps his boat slip down.
Is his boat in the water right now? It's freezing out there.
Yeah, Chris's boat's in the water.
Oh, okay. Chris's boat is.
He said, of course his boat is.
Oh, of course is. His boat's in the water right now? No, it's not.
He's got, I'm assuming, probably more than one boat. And he has a boat in the slip down by the cable car. Do you go to Nantucket,
yeah,
Zelda?
Sure.
Okay.
You mean the club? The cable car.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what do you guys think?
Okay, Bob, you know what? Now there's no real slip right next to the club car. And that's the Nantucket Basin, and he's not. No. I've actually been on his boat, so I know where his boat is. It was like 40 years ago, but that's unless he moved it, and there's no boats in there. He's supposed to be on the water.
The guy they wanted, Felger, was Andy Isabella.
Mike, you do know him better than any of us.
I do. I know him. I know him personally. I know him very well, intimately, man.
You know him better than I do.
He had me the first time. I thought he was telling the truth the first time with the coffee shop and the big surprise.
Hey, I'll tell you what, a receiver in the first round is a good enough shock for me. I think Bob's right.
If they really wanted Andy and Isabella, could they got him? Where did he go?
No. They had to trade up to get JoJo on.
He took him for the pick that they traded for Rosen.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, so 60, whatever the hell it was.
Isabella went in the second round?
He did. Yeah. He went 62 to Arizona. And the Patriots traded up to get JoJo on, so they didn't have a crack at him.
Well, they could have taken him there.
No, they didn't have another pick after.
Well, they could have taken.
Oh,
him
did they trade out after that? Maybe they did.
Couldn't they have taken Isabella instead of JoJuan?
Yeah. Yeah, they traded up for JoJuan. So
how badly could they have wanted Isabella?
Not as bad as JoJuan, clearly.
Cable car. I don't think so, Bob. Nice try. You had me going though. Here's a word from our sponsors, then the final word.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sport.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. With the best prices and great free services, nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
A couple of pieces of sound today in the final word. They're both Celtics related. We will start with the night that Kyrie Irving had on the floor. Discussed at length some of his commentary after the game. But on the floor, not good. In fact, Maz basically summed it up as a night that Kyrie sucked in blue.
Thoughts on Kyrie Irving?
He sucked in this game.
Maybe the worst game I've ever seen him play.
You know who else sucked? Look,
Tatum.
Tatum's been brutal in the two games. And you know who sucked last night, too? Hayward. Hayward sucked last night, too. They all sucked. All three of those guys. Irving blew in this game. He was terrible. Tatum has sucked for two games, and Hayward, it felt to me like he didn't want to play last night. Boy, did he look just sort of disinterested, I thought. They played like it. They didn't want game two. We got our one game. We'll go home. They better hope they don't screw it up at home.
Sucked and blue.
Mr. Positivity.
Nope, daily double. Yeah, it's good.
Well, because it was such a bad game for the Celtics, that meant garbage time. And with garbage time comes the bums. In fact, a giant bum. The bum of Gershon Yabusele. 28-2 run in the playoffs. Was he asleep? Like, or was he? Yeah. Did you want to see Yabusele and some of the other like scrubs on this team getting out there in garbage time? Did you want to see Brad Wanamaker? What? I that makes no sense to me.
Maybe the coach didn't want the game either.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
I'm joking. I'm joking. I don't mean that literally. But Yabusele, he's getting bigger.
No, wider.
He is.
His tush?
Seriously.
Oh, my God. His rump.
Oh, he's all ass.
Oh, my God.
And he's one of those guys, because you haven't seen him in a while, when he gets back out there, it's like, whoa, what happened to him?
A little keto there, dude.
Seriously. Something. Wow. Dude, carb free. Like, that's the way you got to go. No carb. Cut back on the bread. Wow. Boy, is he getting big. He is gigantic.
Plus, it's on purpose. Asses are in. The bigger, the better.
Like, I don't know if you have nieces and nephews, but you go like months without seeing him. Like, wow, she got tall. With him, it's the same thing. He never plays. You go 3 months without seeing him. You see him like, whoa, did he eat the ball rack? What the hell happened? Oh, no wonder they don't have balls in practice. He ate them all. The guy's huge. Wow, did he get big?
Maz's fat shaming is top notch.
Oh, without question.
Really is.
Seriously, he got huge. He's a big boy. I mean, I knew we called him the French panda. He looks like he ate Sandoval. Like, wow. My God, his ass is huge.
All right, Maz, what do you have coming up on the Baseball Reporter?
So we got a lot to catch up on in the Red Sox. They've played two games, obviously, since we last spoke to the listeners, which was only last night. Nonetheless, the Red Sox won them both.
Oh, what are you going to do now, Maz?
They won them both. So this brings me to a story by Alex Speer in the Boston Globe today, which still applies, because Speer has an interesting theory suggesting that the Red Sox are, quote unquote, clearly on their way out of this thing and clearly on the way back to respectability and competitiveness. So my question to listeners is, do you agree?
Here comes Maz on the radio. 90 seconds, no commercials, then you get the Baseball Reporters. Myself, Ty Anderson, standing by right now, Facebook Live and Twitch for the off-air show. See y'all tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Bye.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.